from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Players report today to St. Vincent College in Latrobe, which means all the beat writers going to be making their trek down Route 30, including this man, one of our favorite men, Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He is brought to us by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity, LGKG.com. And Ray, it is here. Are you excited? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, Adam, let's get it going here. Another Steelers season upon us, and summer vacations are now officially over.
I know it's your world. And it's our world, too, but, I mean, you are in it. Do you feel what we feel, and that's that this is kind of a Steelers camp that snuck up on us? Is that the sense you're getting?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, Adam, is there's a lot of anticipation, I think, for Steelers fans to go to St. Vincent this year and just to follow along with the many storylines. You know, the quarterback situation, I think, is going to be talked about from now until the season opener. But there's so much more. You know, you got offensive line storylines. You got secondary storylines. You know, you have the Najee Harris contract situation, the number two receiver situation. So, yeah, I mean, it snuck up on us. But to me, from now until, you know, the start of the season, there's going to be no shortage of storylines for people to, you know, discuss their favorite football team.
Ray, we were just talking about Keanu Benton and what type of role and what he would do if it, you know, a significant role this year. And it got me to thinking about the 2023 draft. And, you know, I'm going through the guys, and every single guy that was drafted probably will have a significant role on this team this year. You got Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton, Darnell Washington, Nick Herbig, Corey Trice, and Spencer Anderson. Yeah. Out of all those guys, though, that will have significant roles, who will have the biggest impact on this team this year?
I'm going to say Joey Porter, Dorn, just because he's going to be this team's top cornerback. He's going to have that billing. I think he earned that last season, and I think he's going to draw a lot of the big assignments. I know he did that towards the tail end of his rookie season. You know, he asked for those big matchups, and on many occasions, Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin gave it to him. So, you know, I think he's going to be called upon more to maybe, you know, step up in some of those situations where he's facing the top receivers in the game. And I think potentially, if he has a good season, that could be a really big impact on this football team. But I'm not underselling Keanu Benton either. I think with Cam Hayward coming towards the end, with Larry Ogunjobi aging as well, I think this is a perfect opportunity for Benton to make a splash this year as well.
We'll get into the Cam Hayward contract here momentarily, Ray. But
yeah,
wide receiver, obviously a big question. And let's say they don't add anybody. And then let's further say that George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth are your 1 and 2 target share guys. Who do you think's going to be third?
Wow. How about a vet like Van Jefferson? You know, I don't want to say that Roman Wilson isn't going to have a good rookie season. I think potentially he can be that number three. But when I look at their roster building situation and I look at all the guys that Omar Khan brought in for Arthur Smith, he wants Arthur Smith to feel comfortable with his personnel. And he brought in Scotty Miller, Van Jefferson, a number of other guys, Pruitt at the tight end. He brought in guys that he's familiar with. So I think it's probably going to be one of those guys initially, and I think Van Jefferson has the resume to do that early in the season. But, you know, let's say Roman Wilson impresses, comes on middle of the season, I can see him taking over that role and potentially – you know, having a strong rookie season as well.
Ray, is that other cornerback spot, is that open for grabs? Or is it Dante Jackson's spot, or is there going to be a competition? Like, will Corey Trice have an opportunity? Will Anthony Averett have an opportunity to win and lock down that spot in training camp?
Yeah, I think it's Dante Jackson's initially. And, you know, we'll see about Trice. You know, people talk a lot about Trice, but he was injured almost a year ago to the day. I mean, he had basically two training camp practices under his belt before he tore his ACL, and none of them were padded practices. So we have to find out a lot about Corey Trice this summer, and I think we will. But yeah, I think, you know, to start the season, it's going to be Dante Jackson. Everett is a vet; he's been there before, but I think they want Jackson to sort of take the reins there and to see if he could hold down that job.
Ray, will we see a Patrick Peterson signing within the next, 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think we will. He's sitting out there. He said he wants to come back to the Steelers. He would be open to that. And we see this almost every year, not specifically a cornerback, but different positions, guys, right? You know, the Steelers maybe are thin at a position. They'll let these young guys compete, some of these older vets compete for the spot. And then if they're not ready to play in the NFL, then, you know, they have vets that they can call upon. So, yeah, I think Patrick Peterson, a phone call is probably going to be had there. And like I said, I think I told you guys a couple weeks ago, what's the money going to be? You know, he's probably not going to sign for the vet minimum, but I think, you know, $2-3 million a year, get him in here, important part of the team for at least half a season and maybe more going forward.
Ray, are they going to get something done with Cam Hayward? And if so, what do you think that looks like?
If it's team friendly, I think, yeah, but I don't think what Cam was talking about in the spring, being one of the highest paid defensive ends in the league at 35 years old, I don't think Omar Khan is going to go down that road. But if Cam wants some security beyond this season, and, you know, maybe the Steelers can get a team-friendly deal done, then I say, yeah, it's possible. But I just don't think that's the number one offseason goal for this team. I think Pat Freiermuth is out there first. I think they want to get that done first. And then if they could do something with Cam, I think that'll happen. I do think it's important. We've seen with the draft, they don't grow 6'5", 300-pound defensive ends on trees anymore. You just don't see those guys. So, you know, there is a need there. And maybe if Cam, if he shows he could play again this season, they could do something after the season. I just don't see a strong desire from Omar Khan to get this done, in August or early September.
Do you think he's going to show? Do you think he's going to do like the soft holdout thing?
Yeah, he said he's going to show up. So I think Cam is a captain. He's going to talk today. We'll find out about the Holden situation, but that's a very popular thing for guys to do now, and I would not be surprised if that happened. I just don't know if it's going to end the way Cam wants it to end, but I definitely think that's a possibility in the early stages of camp, for sure. Yeah.
Ray, Najee's supposed to talk today, right, for the first time? Maybe.
Well, supposedly. I mean, he hasn't talked since the end of the season.
If he does talk, what's a question you would ask him?
First off, I want to know what his feelings are. And secondly, I want to know if his feelings about the running back market, which he was very vocal on last season. How does he feel about the way the Steelers are treating him? You know, does he feel that he's being treated unfairly here based on his previous comments, I would think he would be a little bit unhappy with what's transpired here. But yeah, to me, I just want to know, he's been vocal on how running backs are treated in the NFL in the past. And as we saw in May, the Steelers certainly, you know, didn't invest the money in him to make him feel like he's valued here in the future.
How do you think the reps are going to be split up at right tackle between Faltanu and Dan Moore Jr.? And is there a chance that Dan Moore Jr. takes over that job and wins that job and is the starting right tackle against Atlanta as when they start the season?
You know, I think they're going to make Troy Faltanu earn everything he gets during training camp. So, I think we'll see in the early stages of camp, you know, last week of July, first week of August, we will see Dan Moore at left tackle, and I think we'll see Broderick Jones at right tackle. But I think you'll see a little bit of Jones at left tackle as well. They're going to want to get him acclimated just in case Faltanu proves that he can be the guy and he's ready to start. So I do think we'll see more of Jones on the left side, but I don't necessarily see Moore flipping over to the right side a lot. I think he'll eventually have to learn how to be the swing tackle, but for the time being, I think he'll just be at left, and then when Faltanu proves that he's ready, he'll just slide Broderick Jones over to the left side.
Zach Frazier, the starter day one?
Not day one of training camp, but day one of the season. I think that's definitely in play, but you know, Herbig is a guy that they had there in the spring. I think they'll let him have his shot at it here in the first 2-3 weeks of camp, but I wouldn't be surprised by that first preseason game, second preseason game, if Frazier's not in there with ones.
Ray, this was wonderful. Put the sunscreen on today, man. Enjoy yourself.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. All right, I got excited. Now I'm ready for ball.
Me too. That was it right there.
Didn't take much.
That's all I needed.
I just needed to talk about right tackle.
Yes, right.
I just need to know who the right tackle is
going
to be.
Wasn't it announced that Dan Moore was going to play right tackle, though, this year in training camp, start at right tackle?
They did some of that, yeah. Caboli, we talked to him about it. We talked to him about that, yeah.
I could have sworn I saw something or heard something that Dan Moore was going to start at right tackle in training camp and Faltanu was going to split reps.
I think that they're going to be fluid.
Interchangeable.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little nice tackle triangle
we'll find out soon. I know that.
We will. And to Ray's point, it is incumbent upon Faltanu to make the most of his opportunity. I think what you want to see is a tie at worst, because I think a tie should go to the upside player, not to the vet. To me, the tie would go to, if Dan Moore Jr. is okay and Faltanu's okay, well, I'm going with the young projectable guy. Now, the best thing to happen would be if Faltanu's clearly the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that Zach Frazier is clearly the guy. But I think in a tie-type situation where both guys do some things okay, both guys not doing other things all that well, I think you go with the young player, and you go with the upside.
I know we don't want to put too much stock in the whole quarterback position with training camp after we got burned last year with Kenny Pickett, but this is a position, if you are going to training camp and you're watching the preseason games, that you can win or lose a job. Like, right tackle, offensive line, like, you can see what you're going to get in the trenches. Like,
yes.
It's not false. Like, it's going to be what is going to be, you know, during the regular season. You could see that with linebacker. You could see that D-line, offensive line. Not as much with running backs because it's kind of, you know, kind of tame a little bit. But tackle and Faltanu and Dan Moore Jr., pay attention to that if you're watching the preseason games, because you will be able to tell who can do what and what the season might look like with that person there at that position.
I'm with you. And when Ray kind of gave his synopsis of all the big storylines heading into camp, he said quarterback's going to be fascinating. I don't think it's going to be. I think it's Russell Wilson's job. I am intrigued to watch him and the command he has and just how he looks compared to last year's room. And same thing with Justin Fields. But I don't think there's a battle at all. I don't think there's a sniff of a battle. I don't think there's a thought of a battle. I don't think if he has a bad day and Justin Fields has a great day, if they have bad days and then good days for Justin Fields, I think nothing changes. It's all Russell Wilson. And for that reason, I'm not supremely intrigued by that. I think it probably sounds weird, but I hope you know what I'm putting down there.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and there won't be a battle. It'll be Russell Wilson's spot, but you can learn a lot about possibly your future if Justin Fields comes in here and he does handle the offense well throughout training camp, throughout preseason, he does make the right reads, the right plays, he's efficient with the ball, all the little things. If you do see that, you can be like, okay, yeah, you're not going to start, but next year we'll think about, you know, you might be the guy.
I'll meet you there. I'm more interested in Justin Fields than Russell Wilson. I imagine Russ is just going to look great.
I don't even know if we'll see him that much.
Mm-hmm.
We will initially, just to get everybody on the same page with the new offense, but I mean, how much he's going to play in the second game, how much he's going to play in the third game.
Right.
I don't think that much.
He's a guy that I think would play well in the preseason, too, because he'll just use his legs against backups. Yeah.
And he's smart. He's just going to dump it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if nothing's there, he's like, okay, let's check down. Let me get out of here. Let me get out of this series.
Yeah.
Healthy.
And I'm not going to pretend like last year didn't ruin
absolutely
preseason quarterback evaluation for me.
It really did.
He's MVP!
Everybody.
Perfect passer rating! Oh, they're playing San Francisco, and that's what it looks like. Tremendous. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Our friend John Wehner is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. The Buccos doing something questionable today that they don't have to do. We'll talk about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
About that, Quinn Priester in July, 9 innings pitched, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts, 15 ground balls, which is good to see, ERA of 3. So Quinn Priester, really good of late. That Milwaukee game, he really saved the bullpen, and he really showed me something in that place. He goes 6 innings and gives up just 2 earned runs.
I thought it was going to go backwards. Cause that.
So did I.
Right? Like what? Well, he gave up 2 runs early.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, here we go. And then he turned it around. Remember when I was talking about the tweet? And I didn't tweet, thank goodness.
This guy's not a major leaguer, yep. I think is what you were going to tweet. And at that exact moment, I would have retweeted it and probably done the down arrow and said this. But Quinn Priester's been good his last three appearances, and he's a right-handed pitcher. Andrew Filippone, our friend, our co-worker, he pointed out last night that Martin Perez has an 8.44 ERA in his last seven starts.
Wow.
That's a fairly big body of work, seven starts, 8.44 ERA. Clearly the weak link in the Pirates' rotation. St. Louis has the highest OPS in baseball against lefties. So Perez has been bad. They are good against lefties. And you've got an option in Quinn Priester that you could plug in and see how it goes. Now, maybe the idea, I don't know, is to go with Martin Perez for a few innings and then Quinn Priester for four or five. I suppose I could live with that. But I just don't think at this point you need to be starting Martin Perez. And I certainly don't think in this spot you should be starting Martin Perez when this series is massive. We called it coming in the biggest series of the season, and you felt good about it because you had Skeens and Keller, and this was kind of going to be not the throwaway game, but the house money game. Well, it's taken on much more added importance now. And I think you need to be deft. I think you need to be quick on your feet. Yes. I think you need to be able to change your plan. And this would be one of those moments where you should change your plan. And Martin Perez should not get the ball for the Pirates today. Now, we talked to Ray Fittipaldo in the last segment. We're going to talk to John Wehner coming up next. John brought to us by Gutter Helmet. For a limited time, enjoy up to 35% off Gutter Helmet. No money down or payments for 1 year. Conditions apply. So we'll get back into the baseball with him. But one thing that piqued my interest talking to Fittipaldo in the last segment, Doran, was that he believes the Steelers view Pat Freiermuth in getting his contract done the priority over getting Cam Hayward's contract done. Not to say those things can't happen in lockstep, those things can't happen. Omar Khan's not able to do two things at once like walk and chew gum, but I did think that was interesting that the priority is Freiermuth.
You say it's interesting, but how do you feel about that? How do you feel about Freiermuth being priority? And are you okay with Freiermuth being priority over Cam Hayward if you're looking up now and in the future?
I want both to be signed for all the reasons we discussed earlier for the defensive line, that it's going to be a priority for them in the draft next year with or without Cam Hayward. But without Cam Hayward, you basically got Keanu Benton coming back. So I want Cam to get done, and I would like Cam to get done first. I think if they're not going to give him the money that he wants, and they're not going to pay him big time money, I'd at least like to give him the respect, and so get that out of the way first. I could see it being, I don't know that he would react to it this way, but I could see it being a slap in the face to him if you get Pat Freiermuth done. And that's not to say Pat's not a good player and Pat doesn't deserve it and Pat's not going to thrive in this offense. We both agree on that. They should pay Pat Freiermuth. I just think, yeah, you kind of need to owe it to Cam from a respect standpoint to do him first.
Don't they also know that Cam is going to show up? Like, he's not going to sit out the season. He's going to play. I think that they know that, and I think that they are using that as their ammo right now. They're like, okay, like even if we don't give you one, it's not like you're going to not play this year.
So do you think that Freiermuth might sit out?
I think that there's a better chance of him sitting out than Cam because Freiermuth is younger. He has a lot more years to play. They also need him as well. If Cam sits out, it's like you're hurting yourself, really.
There is some leverage there. Because they need him to be very, very good this season. And you also, based on your schedule, need to hit the ground running. Tight end is going to be massive in this offense. He's going to be their second receiver if they don't trade for an Ayuk, and it seems like that's not going to happen because he reported to 49ers camp. And all the things we heard John Lynch say yesterday and the head coach out there say yesterday, Shanahan. So yeah, I can see where you're coming from on that, where Freiermuth, you got to be there, you got to learn the offense, you got to be that security blanket, you need all these things to meld so that you hit the ground running. I think you could get both done. Now, we've said it about the Pirates, takes two to tango. Like, Cam does need to sign on the dotted line. But yeah, if I'm Freiermuth, I don't want to sit out. I probably wouldn't, but that is a chip that he could play.
Yeah.
For sure. We'll talk about that kind of stuff with Doug Whaley. Perfect day for Doug. He'll join us from 9 o'clock until 10. Up next, we've got John Wehner, who's brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Pirates need bats. I'll talk to Wehner about it. That intro makes me smile every time, and it's because we're going to talk to John Wehner, who's on the line right now. And John, do you have any hair left? Because I know Doran and I, we were pulling ours out last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the same thing. I mean, the offense once again, and, you know, I think, well, there's been five of the last seven Skeens games that they've scored zero or one run. But it was a great atmosphere. It was great to see the crowd go out there, almost 33,000 people. It felt like a weekend game. It was a Tuesday night. He obviously did his part. You know, the Pirates had some opportunities, with the bases loaded, and you're facing Lance Lynn, who throws a lot of fastballs. Just couldn't get anything done against him, unfortunately.
John, the situation where Shelton substituted, obviously, Cabrian Hayes for Rowdy Tellez, can you tell us why? Do you have an answer to what the dynamics would be of bringing in Cabrian Hayes in that situation? Now, I know that they changed pitchers and things of that nature, but, you know, Cabrian Hayes hasn't been great lately. He hasn't been hitting the ball, and Rowdy Tellez has.
Yeah, that whole left-on-left, that JoJo Ramirez is, you know, he's really good. He throws hard. He has a good breaking ball. You know, left-on-left with Rowdy, although Rowdy has been better of late. You know, obviously he's been a lot better of late, and even against left-handed pitching. And you've got to pick your poison. You're gonna let Rowdy, the lefty, face the lefty Romero, or, you know, you're going to give Hayes a chance, hoping that they don't go to the bullpen. Obviously, they went to the bullpen and got the right-on-right matchup with Hayes. That's all it is. It's a matchup situation where you're trying to create the best matchup, and Hayes has struggled. And Hayes has hit a bunch. He hits the ball on the ground a bunch. He hit that ball hard. I'll give it to him. I mean, he did hit a bullet right at the guy.
Yeah, made for a faster double play to get turned, John.
Exactly. Exactly. You're right, and there's been a bunch of them off of Hayes' bats lately.
What do you make of the seventh inning? You get Connor Joe up. He hits for Sawinski. He gets the single. Should they have had the bunt sign on for Yasmani Grandal?
Nobody can bunt. He can't bunt. We've watched it. I mean, you're giving away an out. That's the thing for me that's crazy about the game of baseball today, and it's not just the Pirates. It's everywhere. I want to say, where were we? I don't know if it was the White Sox, but that the last road trip before the All-Star break, they had Grandal bunt, you know.
Two strikes.
Every bunt. I mean, it was first and second, nobody out. You're supposed to bunt the ball to third. He's fouling them off down the first baseline, and then he does it with two strikes, the same thing. I mean, guys, we see it all the time. Milwaukee, I think we won a game because Pat Murphy bunted one of his guys that hadn't had a sacrifice in 5 days, or in 5 years, not 5 days, 5 years without a sacrifice bunt. It's not that easy to just go up to the major league level and face major league pitching and square your body around at a pitcher not doing it before. It's difficult. It's not an easy thing to do. Unless you make these guys bunt more or develop hitters to bunt through the minor leagues, come to the big leagues and bunt, it's not easy to get a sacrifice bunt down. And I continue to see this, not frequently. I love the bunt. I'm all for bunting and moving guys over and playing small ball, but these guys are incapable, most of them. They had their guy up there last night, Wynn, who should be able to bunt, and he looked like he never bunted before. And you know, he fortunately hit the ball to the right side, you know, for the Cardinals and moved the runner up. But still, it's a lost art in baseball, and it's terribly frustrating to sit there and watch these guys get called upon to bunt and look like they look like they've never done it before, because most of them haven't.
John, if the Pirates win today, if they win the series against the Cardinals at 12:35, how's it going to look? Obviously they need to score runs, but how will it look if they do end up winning this baseball game today?
It's big, you know. They're on a nice run. They're winning series. Obviously, now that would be the fourth straight series, the two before the All-Star break, now the two after the All-Star break. I mean, you know, we've been waiting for this team to get on a little bit of run. They won 6-7, 8-9, or whatever it was, and now you have a team that's above you in the standings. You win a series. It's a beautiful thing. That's the way. I mean, you're not going to make up all the ground, you know, in a week or in a series, But if you keep winning series, especially against the teams that are in your division, the teams that are above you, you're going to creep up. You know, you're going to play good baseball. You're going to win more than you lose. And so it's a big win. It's obviously a big game. It's an important win. There's still 61 games, so we still got a lot of time. But, yeah, you want to beat the teams you're playing against.
The Pirates are 41-11, John, when they score four or more runs. And it should be more than 50% of the time-ish that you're scoring four or more runs. So if they can add a bat at one position, how do you kind of rank the spots where you'd want to add here?
Right field. You know, it's historically been a position where you look for a productive bat, a bat with power. You know, we're starting to see some signs with Jack Suwinski as far as, you know, making contact. When Jack Suwinski starts making contact, he's going to hit the ball to the ballpark. He had a couple of hits last night. But, you know, we're 100 games in, and he's still under 200, and he still has less than 10 home runs. So it could be center field too, although, you know, if you get a slugger to play right, and you look for defense and center. Obviously, third base, you're not making a change there, but we need Key Brian Hayes to do what he did at the end of last year, and he's been searching now for 4 months. You know, behind the plate, obviously, we've got to kick. We're not going to make any moves there, but Bart has done a pretty good job out there. But mostly, yeah, your weakness right now is at third and right. You're not going to make any changes at third, right, or unless you can go and get a Luis Robert or something like that to upgrade you in center, or Chisholm, or, you know, guys like that. But, yeah, I can't imagine what the price is going to be for offense, because every lineup you look at, every game, you know, we'll watch this for the rest of the year. I look at these Pirate lineups when I'm on radio. I have to read the lineups, and I'm seeing 201, 186, you know, on base percentage of 280. I mean, offense is so bad throughout baseball, especially the bottom 3-4 in the lineup, to where there's so many teams that are still in the race that need offense. And there's only a few teams, or I don't know how many teams, are looking to move offense. So that premium, that price is going to be high in terms of prospects. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes up.
John, I wish we could have talked to you about Paul Skeens, because even though he got the hard luck loss last night, they still have him, which is a very good thing. And my God, is he impressive. But we figured we'd focus on the negative because, hey, that's what we do. Thank you for the time. And I hope you had fun in Cooperstown this weekend. Good time?
Awesome time. It was super. One of the best weekends of my life. Yeah, it was. I've never been up there, so that was a great experience to get to see and experience all that. And plus the knuckleheads I went up there with made it even more fun.
Did you cry, John, during the speech? It was a hell of a speech. One of the best ever, probably, from Jim Leland.
I won't cry or shed a tear. There's two different things here. Does shedding a tear count as crying? Because if that means crying, I cried.
So it was like a slow, singular tear just trickling down your face?
It's one of those where you yawn and you kind of act like you're just yawning and you wipe your eye. Yeah, I did that a few times.
Do you ever cry, John? Do you emote that way?
I'm not a big crier. No, I'm not. Yeah, I have. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I have, but yeah, of course.
I mean, I figured you had, God. Yeah.
I'm not a robot. I got some feelings.
Thanks for your time, John. Appreciate it, as always.
Have a good week.
See you. We'll talk to you next Wednesday after the Pirates trade for another guy who can't bunt. I bet you Rock could go out there and lay down a sacrifice bunt today.
Could he make it the first without
pulling? No, then he'd cry.
Yeah, he'd probably pull everything.
He sure would. Yeah. But I bet he could go up there and, yeah, he'd burst into flames at first base. He could lay one down, though. There's no way he could lay. There's absolutely no way he couldn't lay one down, I should say. All right, we've got Doug Whaley with us from 9 o'clock until 10. The Steelers reporting to training camp today. Coming up next, though, we will hear from Pat Narduzzi, what he had to say. We'll break down more of the Steelers' defense with Doug. Pat Narduzzi taking a shot at Penn State again, and we love it. Doug Whaley going to join us in about 10 minutes, brought to us by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So Wayner says he doesn't cry often. He just has that slow trickle tear. You know I'm a crier. I think you're in between.
In between, yeah. I can get emotional. The older I get, the more emotional I get. It's weird.
Buddy?
Yeah.
If I play with my daughter before bed 7 nights a week, I cry 4 of them.
Yep.
Just looking at her.
Yep, same. I cry more of just looking at my kids.
Yeah,
I get
for
like
sure.
choked up just looking at them. Don't even say anything. I just look. I'm like, man, like, how did we get here this quick?
Right?
And like, how fast is this going to go until they're 20?
Yeah.
And I just get emotional.
I'm like that too. And I've always been on the more emotional side. All emotions. Just wear them all on my sleeve. But the older I get, the more I cry. Mm-hmm. My dad used to say about my grandma, she was either laughing or crying. And then whenever she's laughing, she's peeing. So there's that. Pat Narduzzi made a lot of Penn State fans cry boo-boo tears online by saying this.
Pittsburgh, we embrace rivalries, okay? We'd love to play Penn State if they would play us. If they won't play us, we'd love to play West Virginia as many times as we can play them. You know, 2 years ago, we got them at home. They got us last year. They're coming back. Our kids couldn't be more excited. They got an idea, really, after 2 years, what a real rivalry game is. I think you need to lose a rivalry game to understand what it means to you. I think you have to lose one to know, okay, you know, I don't ever want to lose a rivalry game again. And I think that's kind of what we go into this game with.
Here's how I know Pat Narduzzi is right. College football is totally broken. It's totally broken. Geography doesn't mean crap. Conference loyalty, none of it means crap. It's all for the almighty dollar and TV. Pitt fans still hate Penn State, and Penn State fans hate Pitt, even though they don't admit it. They doth protest too much. West Virginia and Pitt fans, there's respect, but there's hatred there. That's the soul of college sport. Pat Narduzzi's right. Get it on the damn schedule every year. And Penn State has no reason not to play the game because before it was all you could lose, like they did in 16, and not make the playoff. Now you can afford a little bit of wiggle room there. You got to play it every year.
But now if you're Penn State, you're just dangling that carrot and kind of just laughing at Pitt because you know that Pitt wants to play the game, but you're going to schedule Temple. You're going to schedule Syracuse. You're going to schedule every other team but Pitt because you know that Pitt wants to play the game, but you can play the game, but you don't have to because you feel like you're more superior than Pitt if you're Penn State. And at the end of the day, it comes down to you do not want to lose that game. It may not matter, you know, schedule-wise and at the end of the season now with the playoffs and everything, but morale-wise, it would matter.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's what they look at more than, okay, like if we lose the Pitt and at the end of the season, we'll still have a chance to make the playoffs. But the morale, and usually that game's being played in the beginning of the season, morale-wise, that could affect Penn State, and they're scared of that.
There's no question about that, but you can make the argument that you lose to West Virginia, and it would be a morale crusher, too. I mean, a non-conference game to a geographical, at the very least, rival. If you can schedule them, if you can schedule Syracuse, if you can schedule Temple, my God, you can schedule Pitt.
Absolutely, but they're not going to.
No, clearly they're not going to, and it's chicken bleep is what that is. Mm-hmm. It's 100% chicken bleep. We got a Penn State fan right here on the text line. There's absolutely no benefit for Penn State to play Pitt. It's scared. Because the benefit is you beat a rival, but the detriment is you lose, and it's a morale loss, and it's for 365 days. The other team in the state has bragging rights. It's just so stupid and short-sighted by Penn State. And they've talked in the past about, well, we'd like to schedule big games. They played Auburn. They had Virginia Tech on the schedule, but that got wiped out by COVID or whatever. Okay, well, now you're going to play USC, you're going to play UCLA, you're going to play Oregon, you're going to play a whole bunch of different teams all throughout the country because that's now what college football has become in the Big Ten. You don't need to sell your brand by scheduling non-conference games that are outside of this geography. You're playing those games in conference anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, to me, it's pathetic, and Penn State fans like to thumb their noses at Pitt, but rivalry is the soul of the sport.
Yes.
And I know Penn State fans say that they don't want the game. They're only saying it because the game's not being played and they want to have their universities back.
Mm-hmm.
If the game got scheduled, they'd be jacked up about it.
There's no doubt. But you know what? A real rivalry is West Virginia-Pitt because we understand what a rivalry is about. And neither side is scared. Neither side is worrying about anything else but playing that game and then moving on with their season.
West Virginia's national championship got taken away from them by Pitt. And the first chance they had to schedule them again, they did.
Yes. We understand. Football is football. Go play the good games. Hey, listen, if you beat good teams, so be it. If you lose the not-so-good teams, so be it. It's about playing the games. Don't be scared to play football. Don't be scared. Go ahead and play the game.
And you should be confident enough if you're Penn State
right.
and you're so superior, you should be confident enough that you could beat Pitt.
Yeah, don't so you want to play them and beat their ass and show then prove us. To you, them that they're superior? Absolutely. And people in the text are like, well, shouldn't Pitt basketball play Duquesne? Yes, and West Virginia should play Marshall every year. It's all the same thing, and it's all freaking stupid. Anyhow, Doug Whaley of Pittman going to join us for the next hour. Today's the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving day. St. Vincent College in Latrobe, football on the mind, and we'll get into all of it with Doug Whaley. First, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 84.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.